So now we just want to transition into our time of being in the Word. Today, what we're going to look at is different passages of Scripture. And then what we're going to do is I want to read a passage of Scripture as we come towards the end of the morning and in our time of communion together. For those of you visiting with us today, we're glad that you're here at Hope Community Church. One of the ways that we can connect with you and you can connect with us is there is a sheet. It's called a welcome sheet. And that's that way that if you have any questions about Hope or just wondering what we do here, how that all plays out, be sure to fill that out. And then at the back of the sanctuary here, right by the double doors, you can put that in. And then as we meet on Tuesdays as a staff, not only do we look at those who have come and checked out Hope Community Church, but also those who have put down prayer requests, and we make sure that we pray for those things as well. So I don't know if you know this, but I enjoy watching NASCAR, and so I don't know if that's your thing, but it's one of two things. There's one group that says this is it's exhilarating, it's thrilling, and then there's another group that asks the question, how can 43 cars turn left four times for 3 hours? And so that was my first question when I heard about NASCAR when living in Atlanta, and I was working at this company, and the guys that were there, they were very redneck, to say the least. And they were like, Jeff, you got to come and experience a NASCAR race. And I was like, okay, they just go in circles, right? And he's like, no, it's way more than that. And so there was my boss, actually, his brother was on a team of a NASCAR team at that time back in the 90s. The driver's name was Randy LaJoy. And so I went. My first race was in Talladega, Alabama. And all I hear is the roar of these cars. And as we finally go into the racetrack, they just blow by in one big line. And you can't even see them. They go so fast. It's just this blur. And I was hooked. And so I got into NASCAR. And so I began watching it on television. And I slept through most of the races. But it was fun to watch. But then the same group of guys said, listen, we're going down to the Atlanta track to do the Richard Petty driving experience. And I was like, what is that all about? And they were like, you literally get to drive the cars. You can get in them and go really fast. And so the one coworker of mine, he actually won a contest for the Richard Petty driving experience. And so I went down, and they go fast. And it was awesome. And it was like, how do they do this for 500 miles? It was just unbelievable. Being in that car just changed everything. Now, I didn't become a NASCAR driver, but I began to think about, wow, this was much more exciting to be a part of it, to participate in it, than it was just to watch it on TV, because I definitely didn't sleep in that car for those three laps. And so the reason why I share that with you is that's where we want to look at today. We want to talk today about experiencing church together. And over the past 2 weeks, we have been looking at several things. Our first week together, we asked the question, what's the purpose of a spiritual family? And we said that the purpose of a spiritual family was to show the world Jesus. And what we did was we talked about Hope Community Church's vision statement. Last Sunday, we talked about living in Christian community, and we said that Christian community is based on unity and love, and we took a look at Hope's purpose statement. And in our booklets, if you don't have one, I apologize, I can get you this PowerPoint to you, but in our booklets today, what I want for us to take a look at is this, is that when it comes to church, a local body of believers, we will either spectate or participate. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, it says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens of God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. So we see here that it is Christ who is the head of the church, and that when a body of believers come together, it is the local church. It's a local assembly. And what we see here at Hope, as Steve alluded to, is that over the past several years, not just on the elder side of praying and saying, God, what are you beginning to do here? We begin to see individuals start to come. People are come to visit weekly. And some have stuck and stayed. And we began to see that in our children's area, it began to grow, or began to see in our youth. And things were beginning to happen. We even took time to say, let's make sure that we have enough seating as well. As you can see, we have done that on the logistical side of things. Or even in our classrooms, we moved around for our children. But more importantly, what we began to see over recently is that there have been people coming here who are far away from God, who realized that they were broken, that realized that they were in need of a Savior and professed Jesus Christ as Lord. And that's exciting. And not only that, as Steve shared again, even with baptism, we have seen people, as if you participated in a celebration of baptism time with us, people professing publicly what they've already, the decision that they made internally. And not only that, we've been able to see individuals in our church, like one of our elders has said, yes, I do. I was a part of infant baptism, which here at Hope Community Church, we do child dedication. And so he said, you know what, I do. I want to be a part of believer's baptism. And George, he did that a couple years ago. And even others who are engaged, both Faith and Christu, said yes to do that as well. It's also exciting, too, as Steve had mentioned, about legacy members. And even for Barb Hopkins, I asked their permission to share this. But for Barb, her question was, listen, I've been here since day one. I've been a part of the process. I've been a part of the membership, even way back when. What does that look like for me? And as I'm doing these things, I'm receiving these things. And we were encouraging her. We said, Barb, this is an exciting time. This is a new season at Hope. And we need you, Barb. We want you a part of it. And this is what we're doing. And she said, I'm in. And so that's where, as God continues to do these things, as we continue to see these things happening, we want to begin to move in that direction. So what we want to do today is we want to have a look at Hope's core values, because we've already talked about Hope Community Church's purpose statement and vision statement. We also want to ask the question, why join a local church? We also want to ask the question, what does local church membership mean? And then the final question, what does that look like to be a member at Hope? And so let's begin by taking a look at Hope Community Church's core values. The first is this, is that we love God, we love others, and love the world. We love God, others, and the world. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 37, he said this, Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus was saying, everything that you are, love God. And then because of the love that God has for you and you for him, you do that for others. It's that vertical love and that horizontal love, as we talked about in our Romans series, The Devoted Life. It's a vertical and a horizontal. And with our relationship that we have with God, through that, we can have healthy relationships with one another. So we love God, love others, and love the world. The second is that we pray often. We pray often. The Bible says in Colossians 4:2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. We see that prayer is a first priority and not a last resort. And not only that, as a church, we do not want to move unless God says move. We don't want to get ahead of him. We don't want to get behind him. What we want to do is we want to be a people to call out to him so that we can see his glory made known. And a couple of those ways that we can do that is that there's Sunday mornings, before the Sunday morning experience at 9 a.m., there's a group of individuals that meet to pray for the Sunday service and also for other things. And then monthly, on a Sunday evening, typically it's the first Sunday of the month, there's another group of individuals that comes together to pray for the church, whether it's needs or pray for needs of the community and praying for one another. So we see that we love God, we love others, love the world, and then we pray often. The third is that we connect frequently. We connect frequently. Acts 2:42 and 44 say, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. All the believers were together and had everything in common. And we touched on that in our first week of experiencing Christ together. Our personal and spiritual growth is best nurtured in a community of faith. And this helps us grow consistently in our relationship with God. And I have the privilege of being a part of a small group that meets every other week. to where we're able to do those things, where it's prayer, getting in the Word, or just fellowshipping with one another. And even in our FYI, there are different times and locations to where you can see where you can plug into a small group as well. So we love God, love others, love the world. We pray often. We connect frequently. And we give regularly. The Bible talks in 2 Corinthians 2, chapter 9, verse 7. It says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. We give back to God what He has already given us. God is the giver of all things. And ultimately, this is our part of the kingdom work, as we are given opportunities to give and serve. And so, a couple of things that we do here at Hope Community Church. One is on a yearly basis through our Generosity Sunday, whether it's individuals who are going on a mission trip, or a group of students who are going, or a group of adults who are going, and we have that. But also monthly, we have a benevolence offering that's taken at the first of the month, and that's when we are able to have monies to give to those in need within our church and out in the community. So that is Hope Community Church's core values. Now we want to look at why join a local church. Why join a local church? The first is that God desires for us to be a member of a local family. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. See, as a follower of Jesus Christ, when we said yes to a relationship with Him, we were brought into His family, His universal family. And with the church, what we do when coming to, we'll say, Hope, our local body, we are identifying with a local body of believers. Just like the Hill family, we're here in Willow Grove, but yet there's the Hills in Germany, there's the Hills in Atlanta, there's the Hills in Louisiana, but yet they all are the Hills. And so we just represent the Hill family in different parts of the world. So God desires us to be a member of a local family. The second is, and there's a typo in your booklet, which I apologize for, but the second is, a Christian without a church family needs one. A Christian without a church family needs one. Hebrews 10, verse 24 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. I also have family that have said, I'm a Christian, but I don't need church. And so they choose to spectate rather than participate. And it breaks my heart as I talk with them about being connected in a local body of believers, but they see that that's not important. And so I share that because God does desire us to have relationship, not only with Him, but with one another. We were created for that, and we can thrive doing this together as a church family. And so one of the things, as I was taking time to prepare, was Pastor John Piper, he's an author as well, was writing about church. And he talked about how in Scripture that God made covenant with His people. And so as the church in America was beginning back in the 1600s, I want to read an excerpt from that, from John Piper's message, that talks about this idea of us as a church, as a body of believers, as a covenant community. In 1649, Cambridge, Massachusetts, John Cotton, Richard Mather, and Ralph Partridge drew up a model of church government, which reasoned like this: God wills for His people to gather visibly in local churches. This is clear from the New Testament, for example, from the letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor, which are all very different, which you can find in Revelations chapter 2 and 3. He goes on to say, what establishes the visible union of a group of believers into a church is that they make a covenant with each other to be the church. It is rooted ultimately in God's sovereign call that creates a visible people for Himself in fulfillment of the new covenant promises. And it is rooted secondarily in the biblical necessity of becoming local expressions of that one covenant global people. And so it's a covenant community, and maybe some of you have been a part of a membership process where there was a membership covenant. And what we see in here, and as we learn from our church forefathers, we see that a church membership covenant is just a visible and tangible way that expresses a covenant community, which is called the church. And so that's where we leave that. Why join a local church? And so the next question that we want to ask is, what does local church membership mean? And I want to couple the first, there's three here, but I want to couple the first two. The first is that membership means we offer our part. And then the second is, membership means we are different but work together. Membership means we offer our part, and membership means we are different but work together. When we offer our part, we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 and 28, from the New Living Translation, it says, "All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church." And Paul goes on to share those different parts of the church body. But Paul also writes in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, he says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Just recently, I had to start looking for another car. And I don't know if you've ever done car shopping or you have recently done car shopping, but there are so many vehicles. There's different makes, there's different models, there's different prices, there's different colors, there's different years, and so on and so on. And so they're all just different. It's like, where do you begin? And what I began to think about is that even though that's all that, so if you went to autotrader.com and started doing your search, but what I do know, whether it's a car, a truck, an SUV, a van, I know that the commonality that's there is that that vehicle gets us from point A to point B. And so what we see here for you and I as Christians, as followers of Christ in his local church, each of us, God has given us by his Spirit gifting. And he has wired us that way so that we can serve the kingdom of God in a local place together. And for some of you, that spiritual gifting may be mercy. For some, it may be hospitality. For others, you may have a gift of faith. Whatever that may be. And a few weeks ago, we took time as a church and encouraged you. We had spiritual gifts inventories. For you to take with you and ask the question, how has God wired me? And so we're going to take a look at that spiritual gifts inventory even in our membership classes. So what we see here is that we offer our part and we're different, but we work together. And the third is that membership means our foundation is based on love. Our foundation is based on love. Ephesians 4:15 says, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ." And so our foundation is Christ. He is our cornerstone. That is where we put our hope in. And then together we see that from his example, because he is love, that you and I can love one another together. And so when we come to who we are at Hope Community Church, and the question is asked, what does it look like to be a member of Hope? What I want to say, as you heard from Steve and myself, is that what God has been doing, and we're seeing that individuals coming, people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. We're seeing people being baptized, and we're saying, listen, we're bringing some process. We are bringing some function and form to what we're doing, but that's just a part of it. And so what we want to be is a people who do two things. One, we want a one another attitude. We want a one another attitude. In Ephesians 5, verse 21, it says this, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." In other words, we support one another through encouraging and holding each other accountable in areas of growth and areas of development. We care for each other by using our spiritual gifts to serve God with others. And the second is this, is that having a kingdom-building mentality. Having a kingdom-building mentality. Jesus himself said in Matthew 24:14, he said, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Individually, you and I, as followers of Christ, we will share and build the kingdom individually where we work, where we live, where we play. because there is good news that there's a world that is broken, a world that is separated from God, and a world that needs healing. And that's what we do individually. But also collectively, what we do is we build the kingdom together locally here at Hope. And whether that may be through Christ Home at a fall festival, or it may be a pancake breakfast or a fifth quarter with the high school, those are the ways that we can do that together. And as I said about a foundation based on love, what we see is Jesus' very words that brings us all together. When the world looks at Hope Community Church, is the world asking the question, what would happen if Hope wasn't here? Would they be saddened? Or would they be glad that we were gone? But what we want to be as a people, that when the world looks at us, Jesus' words in John 13:35 say, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And that's what we want to be. We want to be a church that does this together. And looking at the world that we live in, that they could see a picture or a glimmer of hope and healing that comes from a group of people that say, we are followers of Jesus Christ, and locally we want to do this together, to broadcast the name of Jesus for his name and his renown. And so this morning, as we talk about this love that God has given us, it brings us to our communion table. Because at this communion table, as a follower of Jesus, what we do is we are remembering his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And for us who have said yes to Jesus, we see the significance of just some crackers and some juice. Because the significance is that Christ's body was broken. Christ's blood was shed. He gave of himself when probably I know I wouldn't. I would focus more on me than the greater cause. But yet he did, because he believed in it. And he believed that through, and we know that through him, that we have been reconciled to God. Christ died for a sinner just like me, in my lowest of times, in my worst of times. And what we see in Scripture is found in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. As I turn there, I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward and just take a seat before we partake in communion. And as the ushers come forward, I want to read this passage that's found here in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. It says this, beginning in verse 10, it says, this is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. And what we're seeing here is that it's speaking of true Israel, spiritual Israel, that through Christ, salvation is available to all. And so he goes on and says, I will put my laws in their minds, and I'll write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. See, what, again, God's plan was to bring salvation and redemption to the world. And it was through Christ that a new covenant was made, that God's laws were going to be written on our hearts and on our minds, and that God's Spirit would live in us to give us the power and the strength to live for him. And not only that, his Holy Spirit has been our guarantee as we wait for his return. And while we wait for his return, we take this time to remember what he's done for us. Again, as a local body of believers, the church, this is what Christ paid for with his life. He is the head of it. He will always be the head of it. And we as his church submit to him and to one another. And as I stated in our first week, this is why. It's for God's grace alone, for his glory alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So let's just take this time to communion with our Heavenly Father for what he's done for us. And once again, I want to reiterate, that's why we come here today, to remember the love that was given to us by a holy God. And Jesus said to his disciples, he said, you see this bread that I'm breaking? This is representing my body that will be broken for you. And he said, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. And it was also at that same time, at that table, Jesus took the cup. And he said, this cup is going to represent my body, the blood that is going to be shed for you. But this is going to be the blood of a new covenant, salvation being available to all, forgiveness of sin, so that we can stand before him righteous as we wait on his return. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you this morning, and we hear the words of a simple song that says, here's my heart. And Lord, my prayer is that not just myself, but that each of us would have a desire to know you more. That we would say, in every aspect of my life, you have me. I pray today that if there are those here today who have struggle with the concept of a relationship with you, I pray that you would speak to them softly and say, come to me. I pray that we would all have that desire to follow you. Lord, we come to you and we understand that it was you that established your church, that it was you that brought about new. It was you that gave of your life, your very life. But yet by the power of God, you rose again, and through that, we have life and life eternal. And so all the things that we have discussed over the past 3 weeks, Lord, here's our heart. And just work in our hearts and lives. If we need to wrestle, let's wrestle. If we need to whatever it may be, if it's just having questions, may they be questions that we can dialogue together about, whatever that looks like, Lord. But we want to say today, as we come to a close, as your children today, that you're the cornerstone of it all. It's in you. It's in you. And so we give all this to you, Lord, believing that you're going to do great and mighty things, not only in us, but through us, for your name and for your renown. And all God's people said, amen.